This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator Podcast. My name is Derek Gallimore, and this is episode number 116. Today, I'm joined for the third time by Paul Magiatis. He is a serial entrepreneur and businessman. We actually spoke previously to Paul in episodes 105 and 110 if you want to get his backstory, and of course an introduction into his East West Enterprises, which is an outsourcing back office firm that he set up to scratch his own itch, as I say, and services companies, and then he extended those services to other entrepreneurs. So an interesting story. In this episode, we talk more broadly about the future of outsourcing, and then actually we go down the rabbit hole of exploring the future of work and the place of people in work and whether they will at some stage be made redundant. So quite an interesting chat. I certainly enjoyed it, and I hope you will too. If you want any of the show notes or to get in touch with Paul, then go to outsourceaccelerator.com/116 and enjoy. Welcome back, everybody. Today we have Paul Magiatis again with us. Hi, Paul.
Derek, how are you going?
Good, great, great. And I will obviously allow Paul to introduce himself, but we've had him in two previous episodes where he's discussed his outsourcing journey and also his outsourcing service provision. Paul himself is a successful entrepreneur with multiple businesses, sitting mainly in Australia, but I believe you travel around a lot. So I just want to tap into Paul's business insight and with a obviously outsourcing perspective there. So I'm doing a certain amount of lobbying with Outsource Accelerator that the focus for the Philippines needs to be on the SMEs. There's a little bit of a hangover from the earlier days of outsourcing where they're all focusing on the multinationals who would take 10,000 seats. And, you know, of course that plays into the benefits for the big outsourcing providers. But that is now stagnated. And I think the outsourcing associations here, they're thinking that it's really all a bit over and it's, the sun is setting on the industry. But really, there is huge growth in the SME market. And I'm certainly seeing it, and I'm sure you are too. There's 35 million SMEs in the high-cost English-speaking world. And still, many of them do not or are not aware of outsourcing. And, you know, as you say, it's becoming more and more accessible to these SMEs because of cheaper infrastructure, because there's more BPO service providers that are focusing on SMEs. And there's an inevitability as the world becomes smaller with technology that will just be natural to, you know, if you've got a 5-person business, that they're going to probably be spread across the world. Yeah. There's a sort of fast changing dynamic in every aspect of business, isn't there?
Oh, and 35 million SMEs, there's a lot of work there in those SMEs. Most SMEs are broke and fold in a 5-year period, mainly because of cost, or they just can't afford to keep going, cash flow, infrastructure costs, or capital costs. Now, you add outsourcing to that, you're going to increase that number.
Yeah. And it's ironic, isn't it? Because the SMEs, as you say, they need the support from the governments or the systems because they are the seedlings of growth. And, you know, but ironically, it's only the big conglomerates that have access to most of the benefits of big business, which is, you know, taxation avoidance, outsourcing, kind of advanced financial structures. And, you know, typically the SME, they're dealing in a far more competitive, difficult space, but they don't have access to a lot of these resources yet.
That's absolutely correct.
Yeah. So they need to take advantage of everything they can. Yeah, they need to get into the outsourcing. They need to try and structure their taxes as well as they can. And so it's, yeah, there's certainly an opportunity. And do you see then how's it going to play out in 20 years? Are there going to be any trade borders? Is there going to be any sort of geographical differentiation in business?
There won't. It's already happening now where governments can't contain what we do on the internet. So, for instance, we outsource within our outsourcing business with our product offerings for SEO. For instance, we have SEO articles getting written in Argentina, and someone in Canada writing blogs, bring it into a package into the Philippines, and we do the reporting and the grunt work behind that. So I'm pretty sure that the people we – I don't even know who these people are in our organization. The people we employ to do jobs in Argentina and Canada as part of the SEO teams that's running the MLIT department, we're already doing it. So in time, each country will have a skill set that we need, and we'll spread out into those countries as well, but as you know, in different forms. So contracting for now, but in time we may take an office there as well. It makes sense. Our office is in Hong Kong, which makes sense. We're a global company, so we need to be seen to be in a global office. So we have our offices in Hong Kong because no one knows where Perth, Australia is, and that's the reason we're there. People that we deal with in the UK don't have a clue where Perth is. So you can have your presence in one country, your staff in another, your management in another, and your product in another.
And a long time then, ago, I mean, it was only 15 years ago, if that, 20 years ago maybe, that for you to import or export anything, and the government's put severe restrictions on these, you either had to send a person somewhere, and that's, you know, workforce migration, or you sent a product somewhere, so that's the kind of manufacturing outsourcing. But now the economy is moving completely, or the majority of output in most economies is services and professional services and information services, and none of that can actually be effectively policed or have any kind of border control, because as you say, I mean, your SME is spread across every corner of the globe. Yeah, it's and I think there's still, though, many, the majority of SMEs, and I'd like your opinion on this, that are still completely unaware of outsourcing or the potential of outsourcing. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. We live in a virtual world, and it's growing every day. And yet I went to a meeting this morning with 12 business people and had a chat to them about outsourcing. And most people are aware of it now. Maybe a third have dipped their toe and are trying it out, but the rest have no clue. So when we did some examples, they were gobsmacked that you could take a task they're doing here, send it through to India to get the code written, and then I'll put it together in the Philippines and have it back in 48 hours. And the cost compared to what they're priced here at 70% less. They just gobsmacked at the possibility. And look, 20 years from today, our world is a different place. The jobs that we have now, they won't exist. There'll be less jobs. We may not all have jobs, but we'll have to have an allowance, and perhaps the government will just give us an allowance to live on, because really, Boeing has already released the flying car. That's already happened. Yeah. Our pizzas are getting delivered in New Zealand with drones currently through Domino's. They're doing a test over there, landing the drones with the pizza on it. So the world is changing quickly. The jobs are changing quickly. Technology is taking out whole industries. Uber has taken out the taxi industry, which is a regulated industry, but all of a sudden, bang, there's Uber everywhere.
Yeah.
And that's created different jobs and opportunities for
everybody.
And it's
happening like never before, really, isn't it? Because jobs have always evolved, and there were the Luddites that protested about the mechanized fabric looms, and then, of course, there was the horse and cart, and people moved. But actually, the evolution that we're seeing now with robotics, with AI, with sort of IP services changing all over the world, actually, we are fundamentally losing the low end of jobs, aren't we? Because we will have low-cost robots or low-cost computers executing a lot of these jobs. So, as you say, there's talk of living allowances, because fundamentally, in the future, there probably won't be enough for humans to do to necessitate earning a salary from, yeah?
And absolutely correct. And you can see the trend in the larger cities now, where the driverless cars, we've got a driverless bus on our doorstep, which is hilarious. So in time, if we go driverless, which I suppose would be a great outcome for Uber, that's their end game, I would imagine. But driverless cars, then who pays for the infrastructure? Who pays for the roads? We go a step further, we've got our first flying car, which is you can buy it for 70 grand off Boeing, I think, currently. Then you don't need your roads. So then where all those jobs go, what happens there, all that land? There's it's quite mind-boggling to sort of think forward 20 years. The world will be a different place, be different jobs. Most of our jobs won't exist. Old people now tell me about the typing pools they used to have. Well, that doesn't exist because we can now just use Siri and create a 4 or 5 page document by talking to our computer.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
It'll be a whole new different world, and there will be less work. And the economics, I think somewhere in Colombia, for instance, they worked out that it was actually cheaper to use manual labor to move rocks than it was to buy the machine, because the machines cost $500,000. So in that instance, they use people. So if you want a job at lifting rocks, move to Colombia, for instance. So it's going to be all economics. But in time, it's all going to be leveled out. The market will always level itself out. So what things cost in this country and what things cost in the Philippines, for instance, they'll come up a little bit, will go down a little bit. In time, it'll be a market price. The market will determine what that price is. And now with the information transfer being so quick, you can very quickly figure out how that that equalizing is going, because you are seeing in places where people just don't do those jobs anymore. They don't exist. They were just, you have to offshore it because no one wants to do it.
Yeah. I think it was Adam Smith, one of the first economists that projected forward that the world is becoming increasingly more efficient, and it shouldn't be too long before people don't need to work in order to sustain their lifestyle. But, you know, we're kind of 300 years beyond Adam Smith, and we're still, you know, people are working 60, 70 hours. And then, so whether it is actually just the human condition that people want to work a hell of a lot because they then feel fulfilled. But actually, the reality is that this, his futurism might actually become true, because, you know, if everything is done for us, then we would only have then sports and hobbies, really, wouldn't we? Which might be.
And look, and you can. I sat with a friend of mine. He's the director of information technology at Austrian University IT technology, and we've had this discussion where there will not be jobs. You will all get an allowance in time, and you will kind of do what you do, filling in your day, have some structure in your day, because the human brain doesn't work well when it does nothing, and you need to be doing something. It needs to be structured, but it won't be work as such, so it'll be an allowance. And the larger corporates will be paying for the infrastructure, your Ubers, etc. It'll be a virtual world, and it's not that far away before Elon and his mate fly to Mars and start something there. So all that stuff is going to happen. My 12-year-old we're blessed enough to send her to a private school in Australia, and she came home one day and she said, "Dad, we watched this cartoon called The Jetsons. Have you seen The Jetsons?"
Yeah.
The old Jetsons?
Yeah.
And they're watching The Jetsons. She goes, "It was hilarious." And the teacher asked us at the end, "Go, which part of that movie or part of that cartoon was a little bit odd to you?" And all the kids said, "Oh, they're using real money, miss." That was the only thing that they picked that was odd. So the talking computer was normal. And this was mid-60s they did The Jetsons, I believe.
Yeah.
Mobile phone, they were onto it way back then. The flying car, all that stuff that they were looking at already exists. You can Google it and you find it now. Most of it's part of everyday life. The only thing that they didn't foresee back then in The Jetsons, of all things, was that using cash. We now use card for most things. And for a 12-year-old to pick that up, it was pretty interesting. Everything else they thought was normal, except for the money part of it, which, and that's interesting because money is going to be a global thing in time as well. And that started, that revolution is all.
Yeah, with the blockchain and the cryptocurrencies, and it's all going to be, and decentralization. I mean, all the banks are going, aren't they? Like all of these kind of centralized authorities are going to be gone soon, aren't they?
So in time, it'll be a different place. I think a better place, because you've got to progress, you've got to evolve. That's life. That's the way it is. If you don't evolve and progress with it, then you'll kind of die a natural death and you'll be lonely.
So let's move this back to outsourcing a little bit. And this is interesting because, you know, I push out a lot into the ether and promote outsourcing. And Outsource Accelerator, we do get a little bit of kickback from people that are worried about the future trends, that are worried that they're going to lose jobs. You know, I have a real belief that outsourcing is a win-win, but you know, there are people that try and lock the borders and try protectionist measures and want things to stay the same. But inevitably, well, there is an inevitability about evolution, isn't there? You know, and generally, I think history shows that evolution is generally a positive thing. Lifestyles have improved generally over history. So, yeah, do you see it as an inevitability? And you know, can we really guide or steer where this is going?
Oh, we do. We already guide this. If you go back to Henry Ford, if Henry asked people what they wanted, they would have wanted a faster horse. Mm-hmm. So he gave them a car. People don't really know what they want. It's entrepreneurs come up with ideas that make people's life easier and better, and then people latch onto it, and then it becomes the norm. And I think you're outsourcing, with outsourcing, especially now that's accessible to your SMEs, it will become the norm, because as value or as expenses get higher in some countries and becomes unprofitable to do the jobs you've always done, and if that's all you know and that feeds your family, you have to find a solution. And if that solution's sitting there and it's a more normal thing to do, it will get bigger and bigger and bigger.
Mm.
And then people, that'll be the normal. Then someone's going to come in one day and say, well, these robots are much better, but it's going to take them a decade to convince everyone to go down that route. So I think we've got maybe 10 years left in our outsourcing before we can look at maybe robotics, or even longer. Could be longer.
That is really concerning the Philippines, though, isn't it? That you know, a lot of the bulk outsourcing jobs could be lost to AI and computers. It's
yes, I think that it's is concerning. Yeah,
on the radar now for the Philippines.
How far do you think that is away, though? Really, because it takes people a long time to latch onto a new idea, even if it is a good one.
Yeah, you've got these. You've got these options on the beginning of phone calls when you call the bank, and they've been developing those for 30 years, and they're still useless, aren't they? They're still sort of infinitely frustrating. I think it's still a very, very long way until AI is a broadly intelligent function. You know, I think they have very kind of narrow intelligence at the moment, and a computer can add up numbers far faster than a human, but to actually have broad intelligence and broad applicability of that.
And it's expensive currently too. So till it becomes normal and our billionaires bring it to the forefront and promote it and turn it into something that's cost effective and works, it won't happen. It could be 30 years away. So I don't think there's an issue just yet. There will be. Things will change again. Outsourcing will be the flavor of the month for the decade or two decades, and then one day someone will develop something that will work better.
And again, I think it's sort of full circle to our conversation, actually, because it is actually the big employers and the big outsourcers, you know, like the Western Unions of the world, who have kind of 20,000 people sitting in Manila, that they, I hear, are pressuring the BPOs that are supporting those workers to come up with computer algorithms and systems and AI that will actually drop their numbers. So, you know, you hear kind of reports that Accenture's been told to drop the seat numbers by 5,000 because there's an expectation that more and more of these roles should be kind of automated through basic early stage algorithms. And so it's almost, you know, the big boys get the leg up first because they can drive these innovations. And it's effectively the high end of town BPOs that are now being pressured to find those solutions. So it's it will be an interesting.
And in time, that then will become available to your SMEs. And I spoke to a business coach just the other day, had the same conversation, and he put it very crudely and bluntly. He said, "Your job, Paul, is cheap bums on seats." I don't think that's an accurate description, but he said, "My job, Paul, is to get less cheap bums on seats." And that's exactly how he put it back then. So he was like, cost savings and staffing and then efficiencies and IA to then reduce the number of team members. And as crude as it sounded at the time, he's actually quite right. He's a high-level business coach, doesn't mix his words, and he does that with people. So he'll refer someone to me and we'll staff them up, and his goal over the next 3 to 5 years will be to, okay, now that we've got this thing working and we're making money and we can afford to make mistakes because our cost base is so low, now we have to get efficient. Now we have to automate. Now we have to create the algorithms to sort of get most of this done before it gets to the point where it needs to go to the admin staff. So that's the way it's going to go, but I think that's a long way off for us. And again, that's our children will have to worry about that. And again, they'll have the same problems we've got. They'll just have to see opportunities and latch onto them.
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it? I mean, it's all this sort of, it's this march of efficiency progression, isn't it? It's just always going to a point of less friction and you know, more efficiency, really. It's fascinating, really.
Oh, it is. But the outsourcing industry for the SMEs is still new. We haven't even scratched the surface yet, really. So the SMEs haven't grasped it. As you said, 35 million SMEs. And look, a lot of them, 1 in 5 will go broke. If we can change that number to, 2 in 5, there's a lot of work there.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a lot of work to outsource. So I think we're okay for a good 20 years before we have to really think about any major changes. But like anything, you've just got to keep your eye on the ball, stay focused and improve with the times, embrace new opportunities and just incorporate them into your team. Because no matter which way you look at it, even if you get new technology, you will always need, at this point, someone
to run it.
Outsourced to run it. Mm. You'll have to have someone sitting there for when there's a glitch. You always have to have someone there to make that software talk to the other software. So there will always be something in the background. In fact, our jobs, we're getting less of them, but we're creating different jobs. So you've just got to see which jobs are coming up into the future and where the economy is going and where technology is going and find that niche and crawl into that niche and you will always have a job. And that's what we look at some of these things at the moment where our clients really need their technology, but they just don't know how to drive it. So we go and find it, employ someone who knows how to drive it, and then we employ them to help out the client.
Yeah, fantastic. Incredible. Well, that's an amazing insight, and I didn't expect to talk futurology with you, but it's an incredible topic. But thank you so much for joining us, Paul. And if people want to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Oh, Derek, if they go to the website, eastwestenterprises.com.au, that's phone numbers on the top right-hand corner, or otherwise just on the contact page, flick us an email. If you put my name on the subject line, I will end up with that email, and I'm happy to talk to anyone that's interested in getting a conversation started about outsourcing.
Fantastic. And, of course, all of those contact details will be in the show notes. Thanks for your time, Paul.
Thanks so much.
Okay, that was Paul Magiatis. So if you want to get in touch with Paul or want to know anything about the show or take any of the notes, then go to outsourceaccelerator.com/116. And of course, if you want to ask us anything, then drop us an email at ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.